Good morning, Radioland, Southeast Alaska. You are listening to KCAW Sitka Raven Radio, and welcome to a very special day of programming as Southeast celebrates Newsday. Up first for Newsday, it's the head honcho and the grand poobah, Becky Myers and Rich McClear, breaking down the public service of Raven Radio. Stick around for the next hour as these titans of public radio discuss the last 40 years of Raven Radio and its public service to Sitka, as well as what's in store for the next 40 years.
Before there were cell phones, mm-hmm. and the messages we used to have a stack of muskeg messages every time we'd read them, and it'd be everything from very like Chevalier family, your book is ready at Old Harbor, to Jimmy and Jane in Tenneke Springs, you have a baby sister, because no phone, and that's what you know, or so and so, the marine operator just called to say the FV so and so is safe in such and such a bay during the storm, mm-hmm. you know, and just all manner of things that people would call. Now, with cell phones, a lot of that's been bypassed. We used to get calls from the marine operator all the time about boats that had pulled into a harbor and wanted to let everybody know they were safe.
Yeah.
Or someone who had made it safely, you know, who was coming up from Port Alexander and said, we made it safely up, and the family in Port Alexander would know. My favorites were the babies.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a new brother, a new sister,
right. a new niece.
Yeah, that they were always great, and the saddest ones, of course, were the funerals.
Yes, and folks need to know about that. That's a part of life here in Southeast Alaska. And while cell service has supplanted somewhat the use of muskeg messages, they are still very relevant today.
Sure,
and they are very much a service that we continue to provide here at Raven Radio.
We've had an awful lot of cell phones and keys returned to their owners because of muskeg messages, and that's still happening right now.
Oh, for sure. I have definitely been the recipient of somebody's good eyes and knowledgeable ears hearing on Raven Radio that a item of mine has been found. It has. I'm glad for the service, and it's a service that sometimes gets mixed up because these are all just personal in nature kind of things, not promotional. And they're meant to, as Rich has said, relay information in the absence of phones. We run them for 2 days, and there is a storied history around them, which you will listen to thanks to this report filed by Nina Sparling. A few years ago was one of our fellows here at Raven Radio in the news department. I do want to say thank you. We got a call just a little while ago from Jan Love, who says she loves the local news, of course, a variety of news, fresh air. She is a listener and supporter of Raven Radio. Please join Jan in becoming a part of the Raven Radio community by calling 747-5877 or going online to kcaw.org. You ready for this, Rich?
Yep.
All right. This is Nina Sparling with her report on muskeg messages.
What I didn't realize is how much I would crave the sound of human voices, just hearing what was happening in other people's lives. And it meant a lot to me at that time. I had no idea going out that would mean so much to me. But
Rain Vandenberg lived in a cabin alone outside Tenneke Springs some 25 years ago. She would kayak into town for supplies, a bath in the local hot springs, and to use the one payphone in town. But back at the cabin, she turned to the radio to find those voices. What she heard on air was more than just straight news and DJ sets. We met on a flight to Sitka. When I explained I was moving to town to work at the radio station for the summer, she told me about something called muskeg messages. She wasn't sure the station still did them, but remembered what they had meant to her several decades prior.
My main connection was radio. I knew the whole radio schedule and, you know, knew when everything was going to be happening on the radio and tuned in throughout the day. But one of my favorite things was listening to the muskeg messages.
I had never heard a radio station do this, collect messages from its community and broadcast them. I asked the newsroom if Raven Radio kept up with muskeg messages. Yes, but they weren't as common as they once were. I started calling the people that built the station to find out more.
First of all, I have to tell you that it's illegal. There is a rule that broadcast stations cannot be used to relay personal messages. Now, since broadcasting started in Alaska, Alaskans have ignored this rule.
That's Rich McClear. He founded KCAW in Sitka in the 1980s.
I mean, when I moved to Alaska, there would be one phone in Port Alexander, just one. If it would ring, no one answered. It was in the store or the post office or something, you know. And so how do you reach people?
How? By radio. Legal or not, stations have used the airwaves to send messages to their listeners since the dawn of broadcast in Alaska. The messages started when the first high-powered AM stations signed on in Anchorage and Fairbanks in the 1920s and 30s. But small towns deep in the bush didn't have any kind of local or regional broadcast service until decades later. Public radio would change that. Steve Heimel has been in public broadcasting in Alaska just about as long as there have been public broadcasters.
It means a lot more to people in Alaska than in other states, this whole business of public broadcasting. It's a very unique resource. You know, if you are really living in an isolated place, and this radio is like your connection to the world, that's really worth quite a lot.
The Public Broadcasting Act of 1967 opened the airwaves to state and federal funding nationwide. In the decades that followed, community stations started up across rural parts of Alaska, and they brought the messages with them. Ken Fate worked at KCAW for over two decades.
It's a time period in which there aren't cell phones. There are, in many cases, no telephones, even landlines. There are some radios. So when these radio stations started happening in remote areas of Alaska, suddenly there was the capacity to reach a broad number of people. That changes your very notion of what is possible.
Public radio went where commercial stations wouldn't, to rural towns and villages without access to other kinds of communication infrastructure. The messages connected people who didn't have much else to turn to. The legality of the messages mattered little to station managers. Their rural listeners needed them. Heimel sees in Muskeg messages and caribou clatters and all the rest something of the heart of radio in Alaska. That's why, once a year, he hosts the holiday call-in show on KSK in Anchorage. It's a two-hour show of nothing but broadcast direct messages.
It's the best of times. It's the worst of times. It's one of the most amazing moments in radio, and it only happens in Alaska.
Statewide, people tune in to hear mom send holiday well wishes and know the entire state is listening, or call in to send greetings of their own.
I just want to say Merry Christmas to Cecilia Coffee out in Marshall, and I hope your house is getting warmer. I bought the insulation stuff. I'm sending the package right after Christmas. And to in Nunamiqua, to Pauline Hooch and her boy Philip Charlie, and to all the Korean folk out driving cabs and flipping burgers out in Bethel, I just wanted to say hey, Bokmani Baduseo.
That was just great. That was just too great.
Heimel knows the call-in show and Muskeg messages push the limits of what broadcasters are supposed to do. I asked him what he knew about the legal status of this kind of broadcast personal message.
The bottom is hard to find, but essentially there's a specific Federal Communications Commission rule that prohibits the use of the broadcast spectrum for personal messages. And it doesn't apply to Alaska. So that's written down someplace. I don't know where. I always heard that it was Ted Stevens that made sure that happened.
Rich McClear, who told me the messages are illegal, had more details. He remembers an occasion in the 1980s when the chairman of the FCC came to Alaska to meet with broadcasters and Senator Ted Stevens.
The FCC chairman gave his speech to a combined meeting of the Alaska Public Radio Network and the Alaska Broadcasters Association. And he said, I've been listening to your stations, and you know you're doing something that's not legal, but it's a great public service. So I pledge to come and make this legal.
McClear says he and Senator Stevens asked him not to. They didn't want to have to go through the legal proceedings, which could take years.
And so the FCC chairman said, you've got a point there, Senator. And so it's jokingly been called the Stevens exemption ever since then.
Phone calls and emails to the FCC yielded little clarity, but the legal issue hasn't come up again for broadcasters in Alaska. And even after phone lines were built and rural villages started community Facebook groups, broadcast personal messages persist. As I called stations across the state, I heard stories of people rescued from eating poisoned potatoes, advice solicited about how to care for baby river otters, and warnings about men with guns up the trail. But for Rain Vandenberg, who told me about the messages on my flight to Sitka, the messages and the service that delivers them were something simpler.
Yeah. The radio was like my lifeline too, even though it was an optional and chosen solitude. The radio provided a bridge to people.
I asked the architects of public radio in Alaska if they thought I should be concerned about reporting on the fact that these messages are illegal. The more relevant threat, many suggested, was Governor Dunleavy's budget veto, which zeroed out all state funding for public broadcasting for the next fiscal year. Besides, the same document that makes muskeg messages illegal requires broadcasters to, quote, operate in the public interest, convenience, and necessity. In Alaska, that might mean bending the rules. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Nina Sparling.
Yeah, I remember that so well. The chairman is giving a speech, and he says that, and Senator Stevens looks over at Bruce Theriault, and Bruce was the chairman of the board of the EPRN. I was the vice chairman. And, you know, Senator Stevens nods at Bruce. Bruce catches my eye nod. And as soon as the chairman is over and gets up to walk away, the three of us rise and go to the door. And Senator Stevens, I remember, putting his arm around the shoulder of the FCC chairman and saying, "Now, look." And the Stevens exemption, that's what we called it.
Thus it was made.
And no wonder there was a little clarity when she called the FCC. I'm sure they don't want to hear about it.
Right. It's something that is best left unsaid, perhaps.
Yeah, except, of course, when you call and have a muskeg message, then it's really important that we have it. If you're out at Totem Park and you find that set of keys, or you've lost your dog. We've had a lot of lost dog muskeg messages, or found dog muskeg messages. Or, you know, we still can get a few messages with someone, you know, calling back saying, you know, "Folks in Tenneke Springs, I'm out of the hospital and doing well. I'll be coming home in 2 days." We got a lot of those messages. Mm-hmm. And I think it was an important service. It remains an important service. And I want to put out a challenge. If you have ever used muskeg message on either end of the line, called one in or been the recipient one, give us a call right now at area code 907-747-5877 or go online, kcaw.org, and click online. And boy, when we started the station online, what's that? You know, we were the first social media. You could make your posts on muskeg messages. But, you know, it's important to keep the service going and all the public service things that Raven Radio does. We'll be talking about some more of them later. Mm-hmm. But muskeg messages are a unique Alaska thing.
Yes.
And, you know, there have been some stations that tried them in northern Minnesota and they got burned. But, you know, here in Alaska, fortunately, because of the Stevens exemption, we can still do muskeg messages. And they are still important. Mm-hmm. If you need it, it's there. And so now's the time to say, yeah, that's a good, unique service. Or maybe you're from down south, you just got here and said, "I always wondered what those muskeg messages were." You know, now you have a better idea about the history of that. It's part of the unique public service that Alaska broadcasters have been offering since the 30s, since KFAR and Fairbanks and KFQD first went on the air in Anchorage, the earliest stations. You know, they started doing that, even though they knew it was illegal. Because it was a service. Well, they didn't know it was illegal. It was started by a bunch of engineers who
they knew how to get the radio on the air.
Exactly.
And then they were like, "Well, this is what we're doing. We're here to serve the public."
And actually, that's the way Alaska broadcasting developed in general. Mm-hmm. It was a bunch of people who were not from the lower 48. They were not corporate guys who came up to see a market. They were local folks who said, "We need this here, and this is the type of programming we need." And they did it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, frankly, the FCC was so happy to have coverage in Alaska that they kind of turned their backs on a lot of stuff that we did in the early days of public radio. You know, for instance, the translators, too. We got a lot of, quote, waivers. Mm-hmm. To do stuff that, you know, for instance, initially you couldn't feed a translator anyway but off the air. And we got a waiver to feed him by satellite. But muskeg messages are part of that whole chain of Alaska is unique, and radio is so important to the life of Alaska. More important than probably any other state in the union.
Yes, and it's not simply just a matter of public service, which is what we're here to talk about, that is made here locally, but the connection of radio stations all throughout the United States forms a really important network for public awareness around civil defense, around weather conditions. Our emergency alert service here is a part of a huge engineering effort that has been in place for many years and is a part of the service that radio stations like KCAW provide in being always available for when something like that needs to be communicated. And that's why, you know, one of the reasons why we're on all the time, but also we are able to supplement kind of this Keystone Central service with other services that are specific to our area, like the Muskeg messages, like the marine weather. I can't think of places that do that otherwise.
We are locally owned. And that's really important because it means the police chief, the fire chief, can come to the station and say, hey, look, we have this problem. Can you help us solve it? Well, let's see. We could do this with emergency messages, or we could, you know, because the ownership is local. The decisions are made right here. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm looking at the decision maker.
I'm right here.
And the point is that we can act quickly. When we get a call from the fire department, it doesn't have to, you know, it's not a station in Omaha where the studios are in Chicago.
Right.
And it has to go through a whole lot of different layers before it gets on the air. The fire chief calls Becky, who's on the emergency preparedness committee, and it goes on the air. Or you call us with a Muskeg message, and it goes on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that immediacy, that local ownership is crucial to this type of service. Now, if you like that type of service, now's the time to call. Real simple. The same number you call for Muskeg message, 907-747-5877, 907-747-5877. Especially if you have received a Muskeg message sometime over the last 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
What if you are now, let's say, a 35-year-old person and you learned you had a little brother?
Oh, I know.
Wouldn't that be a great call to get? Someone say that?
Oh, and over the air, too. It's not as if it would be just you privately celebrating.
Yeah.
It's all of your friends listening and saying, oh, congratulations, you got a little brother. But speaking to what Rich has mentioned about, you know, you calling the immediacy and the importance of locally owned broadcast, we're asking you to join us in this effort. And we have somebody who already has an anonymous person from Tenneke Springs saying that the news is so important for our region. Thank you so much for your support, Tenneke Springs anonymous supporters. You are incredible. And I would say that in my experience, the local service is so important, but it's also so important to be connected to the communities that are outside of here. And we can't take for granted, I think, the service that Raven Radio provides, but also life in general. Like, things on the edge here are very uncertain. And we can at least bring the certainty of communication to you at any given time. You know that Raven Radio, if you call during a blackout, we will at least be able to tell you what we know.
Yeah.
We'll be on the air because we have built in the systems to make sure this broadcast stays reliable. We can do that only because of your help. So please give us a call.
And also, you know, if you live in Tenneke Springs or you live in Pelican, Port Alexander, Cake, Angoon, Yakutat, the reason you have translators is because of the volunteers at Raven Radio.
Mm-hmm.
We actually had volunteers build the station instead of having professional crew come in. We saved enough money to start the translator chain. So actually, it was the commitment of volunteers in Sitka that actually got the station out into our listening communities. And I think that's important, too, because, and of course, it was volunteers in the listening communities who helped set up the initial antennas. I mean, I remember Leo over in Cake working with us on that. And, you know, some of the other great volunteers we had in the listening communities who really wanted the service.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a combination of volunteers at both ends of the line putting it together. And so, you know, if you live in Cake and you got a call on Muskeg message about, you know, a friend who made it safely to port, or if you've lost something and you've gotten it back, or you've been able to get to town to pick up some books that you've ordered, any of those types of things, now is the time to call and say, gee, this is a unique service. We can't get it in most other places other than Alaska, but you know what? The reason it's unique is because we're Alaska-owned.
Mm-hmm.
And why are we Alaska-owned? Because you are one of the owners. You help pay for the station. And therefore, it's not funded by Wall Street.
Mm-mm.
It's not funded by venture capitalists. It's funded by you. And that's why it could be respond to you so quickly.
Exactly. The number to call is 747-5877 because locally owned media matters. This is the ability to be responsive, the ability to pay attention to what's happening around us and be able to share out information, the ability for people who care to build a radio station that not only is here in Sitka, but extends throughout the listening communities that we now get to serve. In fact, I was just thinking about Tenneke because we had a report that it was off the air just this week. And volunteers in the community still have an important role to serve with Raven Radio. They're the ones, the human beings like Gordon Chu, who go out to the satellite. They sweep it off of the snow. Like, this is an important piece of their lives. It's an important part of your life, too. Join us today in ensuring that this service stays strong, especially with the local aspect of things. Give us a call at 747-5877 or go online to kcaw.org. This is an important part of the service, is your participation in it. And we are grateful for everybody's part in it. We are raising $30,000 right now, and we are at $6,575. Wow. And I have Mr. Tom Clark in the studio.
Hi, Becky. Hi, everybody out there in our listening communities.
Morning, Tom.
Hey, I just wanted to let you know that Janet Eddy has called in just now. She's actually sitting on the phone out there at my desk and is offering up a match during your show.
Whoa.
So there is a $250 match on the table from Janet Eddy right now.
Thank you.
Thank you, Janet.
All right. So there you go.
Okay. So you've got your assignment, folks. It is time to support your community service, your public service radio station, KCAW. And Janet is challenging you right now to become a member too. She'll match your donation dollar for dollar. You have to give us a call at 747-5877 to take advantage of that wonderfully generous match and the challenge to support a radio station that supports you literally.
I'll throw one other challenge out. If you used to have one of the bumper stickers that said, "We don't care how they do it outside." You know, because that was the motto for Muskeg Messages. We don't care. Yeah, we used to have, it was a very popular bumper sticker 42 years ago when I moved to Sitka. We don't care how they do it outside. And that was the attitude we took. The attitude was, we got to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we did with Muskeg Messages. We got it done. You know, translators, what do you mean we can't feed them by satellite? That's the only way. Look at there's mountains there. We got to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and it was that type of attitude that built Raven Radio and all the stations along the Southeast Alaska chain, all the Coastal Alaska stations.
Oh,
it was, we don't care how they do it outside. We got to get it done. And so if you have that attitude, then take Janet up on that match. Now, Janet's a lifelong Alaskan. I mean, she's from Petersburg. You know, give her a call. Give us a call and grab that match from Janet. I bet Janet, you remember that bumper sticker. We don't care how they do it outside.
Hey, you know what? Like, as Rich has pointed out, we've got a decision maker in the room. If you would love a bumper sticker that says that, I would happily revive it because, in a way, Alaskan broadcast, I think, is the perfect example of what community broadcasting could be, what it should be. And that is a community that is concerned for itself and for everybody throughout it that is doing the work of supporting the community. So we're asking for you to join Janet and become a member or give an extra gift to Raven Radio in support of the public service we are providing. That's what Southeast Celebrates News Day is all about, is supporting the service that we provide, that we can do only because of your support. And speaking of services, I'm thinking about the next piece I'm going to play. Something that we can do and many outlets can't because of that responsiveness is being on the scene, broadcasting, reporting, and capturing an event as it unfolds. And that happened not too long ago, the night of the 2018 tsunami warning. Do you remember that, Rich?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We have a couple different reports that we'll be playing from that day because I think it illustrates really well what KCEW is able and ready to do at any given time because of support from our community. As you listen to this piece, give us a call, 747-5877, because right now your dollars will be matched by Janet Eddy, up to $250. We're looking for you to give us a call. If you remember the service that Raven Radio provided through this reporting from Emily Kwong, then this is a great time to show your support.
The Alaska and West Coast Tsunami Warning Center recorded the magnitude 7.9 quake at 12:31 a.m., centered about 175 miles southeast of Kodiak. Many in south-central Alaska and the Anchorage area felt strong tremors. In Sitka, that was not the case. Many here were alerted by cell phone, long before the community's sirens were activated. The digital advisory had no detail other than that residents of coastal areas should evacuate to high ground immediately. Sitka School Superintendent Mary Wegner opened both Kiku Shaheen Elementary and Sitka High School to evacuees around 1 a.m., about the same time that the fire hall touched off the sirens.
Evacuate to high ground immediately. A possible tsunami is threatening the Sitka area.
By 2 a.m., the tsunami's scheduled arrival in Sitka, the high school was crowded with residents hoping to remain high and dry. Mackenzie Bovard awoke to that text message alert beside her husband, who is in the Coast Guard. She wondered if the text was another false alarm, like the missile alert in Hawaii 2 weeks ago.
I didn't feel very panicked. I just kind of was like laying there with my husband when he was awake, telling me to get up. I was like, really? Do we have to wake up? Can't I just go back to sleep?
But the Bovard family did rouse along with hundreds of others. Fourth grader Delilah Hinchman was posted up in the hallway directly across from her classroom. Beside her was her sister, Valerie.
We've been going on for 2.5 hours.
I know. How are you feeling?
Tired.
Tired. Tired?
But at least we get to go to school early.
The tsunami warning has been canceled. It is safe to return to coastal areas.
The city of Sitka gave the all clear shortly after 3 a.m., meaning residents could return to their homes. School is expected to take place today in Sitka at the usual times. The tsunami did not produce significant tidal fluctuation in Sitka, 0.4 feet, according to the National Tsunami Warning Center. In Kodiak, it generated a slightly larger wave of only 0.6 feet. Nevertheless, authorities kept the warning in effect until 3:12 a.m., when it was downgraded to an advisory for coastal waters only between Chignik Bay in the Aleutians and Seward. The last time Sickens evacuated was on Friday, January 3, 2013, when a magnitude 7.5 earthquake struck offshore on the Queen Charlotte Fault just before midnight. The tsunami arrival time then was much shorter, and the evacuation somewhat more intense. But at least it was a Friday night, and unlike this latest event, many did not have to roll out of bed for work the next day. This is Emily Kwong reporting in Sitka with help from KCAW's Robert Woolsey.
And that was the incomparable Emily Kwong with one very sound-rich story about the experience of being evacuated. That was her at Kiku Shaheen collecting interviews and sound and things like that. And I think that it's emblematic of the reflection that Raven Radio is of the community and what is happening at any given time. I have another piece that I want to play that is also from our dearly beloved Emily Kwong. This piece, I think, it is kind of complicated. The best response to crisis is preparation, but it is not always easy to anticipate everything that might happen as a situation emerges. This is Emily Kwong talking about the debrief from that night on 2018.
The last time an earthquake of this magnitude affected Sitka, it was 2013. The Fairweather Queen Charlotte Fault slipped, rattling the Alaska Panhandle. Fire Chief Dave Miller remembers that many immediately evacuated, causing a traffic gridlock.
You know, we only had 30 or 40 minutes before a wave was supposed to hit. We had an hour and a half. This was like, you know, a lot of time to make things happen.
And a lot did happen this time, but there were a few key bottlenecks. For one, the federal government's Wireless Emergency Alert System, or WEA, was faster than the fire department's fax machine and faster than the state's emergency alert system, which takes over our local radio and television signals. Phones began ringing off the hook before local officials and media had any information. The fire department is required to pick those calls up, which Miller says slowed down the process by 20 minutes.
Don't call the fire hall. Don't call the police department. They're minimally manned, and it just takes time away from getting things done.
His advice for next time? Listen to local news instead and prepare to evacuate even before you hear the tsunami sirens.
Take those texts for what they are and do what you should do. You know, if it's a tsunami coming, head to high ground if that's what you deem to do.
Luckily, by the time the city vehicles mobilized, the roads were relatively clear. Miller and staff set up their EOC, or Emergency Operations Center, at Kikushihin Elementary School. They were thrown another curveball that night when a small buoy near Kodiak reported a 35-foot wave.
And that really threw the world for a loop.
But it didn't come. The Anchorage Daily News later reported the red herring wave was actually the undulation of the seafloor, likely caused by the earthquake. And KTUU has reported that GCI hasn't fully joined the Wireless Emergency Alert Network, which is why some customers didn't get text messages. And within Sitka, the Code Red program failed. That's the system used by the Sitka Police Department to automatically call Sitka residents on both landline and cell, if they've signed up, in the event of a community-wide emergency. Police Chief Jeff Ankervelt said his staff made an effort to use Code Red, but it didn't work.
My poor staff is beating up on themselves about that not working, but we're going to do an internal review and to make sure that it works next time or explore a different alternative that's more reliable.
Ankervelt and Miller agree that what did go right was how citizens behaved during the evacuation, remaining calm and civil while awaiting further instruction. As both snafus and success stories emerge, Community Affairs Director Megan Bozak says citizens can protect themselves best by thinking ahead.
Make your emergency plan. I know I'm going through my food kit and making sure that we have everything that we need as a family, and run a drill every month. Make sure that you have things. Make sure your kids know. What are you going to do with your pets? Where are you going to go? All those things are really, really important.
And you may wonder, what would Fire Chief Dave Miller pack in his 7-day survival kit?
Pepsi and toilet paper. There are two things that I prioritize in my life.
He's kidding. Here's his list.
Blankets, an amount of water you should have per day. You should make that available. You don't have to have it on you all the time. Just have it at your house ready to go. Mm-hmm. Food that you can rotate in and out every month or 2 months to make sure it's still in date. Medications, make sure they're available and ready to go when you need them.
And once you know what to take, know where to go. Evacuations in surrounding communities went smoothly, city officials across the region reported. In Angoon, the village public safety officer pounded on doors and locals gathered at the Assembly of God Church. Residents of Cake went to the high school, while Pelican went to the community Bible church. Yakutat has 4 locations, the high school, the airport and hangar, and the Glacier Bay Lodge. KCAW was not able to reach city officials in Tenneke Springs or Port Alexander by press time, but those we did speak with saw all this as a ripe opportunity for a drill for next time, when the tsunami might be dangerous. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Emily Kwong.
And that is regionally relevant news brought to you from 2018's tsunami warning that happened. And we're here during Southeast Celebrates News Day to raise support for Raven Radio. We are looking to raise $30,000 today, and we have a $250 match on the table from Janet Eddy, who is encouraging you to become a Raven right now. And you can do so by calling 747-5877 or clicking with your support at kcaw.org. Also, if you give now, today, you will be entered in for a chance to win 2 round-trip tickets on Alaska seaplanes anywhere they fly. But the first step is yours. Give us a call.
747-5877. You know, I'm thinking about earlier tsunami warnings. We used to go up to the high school to set up.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of a makeshift. There's a lot more equipment then. The thing is a lot heavier. And we got the tsunami warning, and we sent most of the staff up to the high school. I was here running the station until we could get the STL working, mm-hmm. and I could get the signal back here. And it was a short fuse type of thing. And so they are working like mad up at the high school. Well, anyway, my son Brian is up at the high school, and he said, my gosh, my pop is down at the station. And he goes, can I help? Well, he knew how the equipment works. I said, sure. And so Brian is moving cables, helping set up the antenna. Meanwhile, he's not showing up at his next class. And so it created all sorts of problems, and he got detention. And I went in and said, wait a minute, he's helping set up. Yeah, but we didn't know where he was, et cetera. And so, you know, I worked out an agreement with the principal for kind of a minor league detention. But it was really interesting because once we got on the air, I had only enough time to get up the top of Castle Hill. Mm-hmm. And so I went running up to Castle Hill with a walkie-talkie. And there's a walkie-talkie that they had at the high school. And so I was there with binoculars watching the tide gauge on the O'Connell Bridge. Mm-hmm. And at the time of the ETA, I reported a six-inch tsunami that came in. It wasn't that big. But what was so amazing was a lot of people from the fish processing plants were also up on Castle Hill. And so was a lot of beer. and so were
you don't
some,
know how long you're going to be
and
there.
So were some boom boxes. And so I'm trying to report this serious tsunami, and in the background there is one heck of a party going on top of Castle Hill with the boom box and the beer and people offering me brews while I'm on the air with my binoculars trying to look at the tidal gauge.
Right.
But the point is that it was essential that we get that stuff done quickly. Mm-hmm. And we did get the station evacuated in time. We got the news out. You know, I was here at the station reporting it until Jake and Mary were able to take over up at the high school. And then I got the heck out of here and up to Castle Hill. But the point is that we've taken this seriously from the very beginning.
Yes.
And we've always had a plan to keep broadcasting for as long as we could until the All Clear happened. Mm-hmm. And of course, traditionally, the All Clear meant that we played Surfing Safari by the Beach Boys.
You have quite the sense of humor with that song choice.
We wanted to play Volcano by Jimmy Buffett. But I thought, no, Surfing Safari would be about the right one to play. Mm-hmm. We have an anonymous.
Yes, good. From Sitka. Thank you.
And we're getting toward that match. Mm-hmm. Janet and Eddie has a $250 match. We're getting toward that match, but we have to have your call to come in. The call is 907-747-5877.
Yes, and we are now $6,825 in 230. I think if we could make $7,000 before we left the air right now, that would be an incredible show of support.
Yeah.
And we're asking for you to support a service that is ready, that's responsive, that has a plan. We're here to continue broadcasting throughout whatever happens to our community. And I remember, you know, I've only been here for a few years, right? Like since 2018.
Yeah.
But the most noteworthy emergency that has come up has been the global pandemic.
Yeah.
And I know at the very beginning, myself, everyone on staff, everybody took turns updating all of the closure lists. We took turns making sure that everything that you needed to know was updated on a current basis because things were evolving at that time. People weren't quite sure how they were going to close. And so we get so many calls about, you know, what services were available and what weren't. I remember that week, in fact, when the declaration was it was given, and that was like one of those snowy, icy, difficult to get around kind of weeks as well. And all throughout that, Raven Radio was here making sure that you were updated, making sure that you knew what was happening in the world, even as the world wasn't even quite sure. So we're here to help at all times. We are asking for your support in ensuring that service stays strong, that we can focus on things like making sure that we're available for tsunami warnings and able to evacuate with you and continue broadcasting. That is a feat that's only possible because you, the community, say it's an important thing, and you show that it's important with your support. So give us a call at 747 5877. That's 907-747-5877. You can also give online at kcaw.org. And every gift that comes in today will be entered for a chance to win 2 round trip tickets anywhere Alaska Seaplanes goes. But you know, you got to take that first step, right?
And we have that match from Jan and Eddie, $250.
That's
right. We
have right.
One caller toward it already. We have to get some more callers. Mm-hmm. You're the one who's going to do it by calling 907-747-5877. You know, what is important, I can't stress enough, is the local nature of the station. When the COVID hub went up, mm-hmm. and we started reporting which businesses were open, which businesses were closed, where can you get food delivered, where can you pick up something at the counter, all of that stuff was crucial for you to make decisions and functioning in a small town. Mm-hmm. And the only way that happens is when you've got local ownership and local management that gives a darn mm-hmm. about what's happening in the community. So I think, you know, the COVID hub was one of the great innovations that Raven Radio had. And it provided information like tsunami information, mm-hmm. like muskeg messages that you need to run your everyday life. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, news is important. And this is what we're, this is a news day in Southeast Alaska. But some of the news that's most important is the news that affects you personally. Mm-hmm. And if you've been affected personally, if we've helped you make a decision, you know, like, oh, okay, this is a restaurant that I can get a pickup at because of COVID. Mm-hmm. These are people who did delivery. This one's closed. I better not go out there. Or, I just heard the warning. I'm going to go up to my neighbor's house because of the tsunami.
Yes.
Or did a muskeg message. Any of those things happen, now is the time to say, yeah, I appreciate it, and I'm going to keep localism alive and well in Southeast Alaska. And when I say localism, I mean localism not only in Sitka, mm-mm. but in all our communities, because we have a volunteer base in each community that helps yes. keep those translators on the air and helps keep us informed of what's happening in all our listening communities. But it all starts with you. I mean, it started with you at the very beginning when a local board of directors decided yes. we want to have a radio station, and they organized and raised money, you know, barn dances, square
oh, yeah.
dances,
mm-hmm.
bake sales. It all was local, and it still is. And that's the important thing. And if you treasure the service, don't take it for granted. Say, yeah, I'm part of it, and I'm going to kick in a little more because, well, we need it right now.
That's true. The phone number to call and make your voice heard is 747-5877. You can click online at kcaw.org and show your support. We do have another anonymous donor here in Sitka that has made their voice heard. They value the local service, and we value you. Thank you for making it possible for us to continue doing this work. I wanted to kind of come back to the idea that Raven Radio helps to inform, and that it's really your decision that gets informed, whatever it happens to be. Every year, we do election forums.
Mm-hmm.
Every year, there's a candidate profile. There is a election hub on the website. I've talked to people all throughout the U.S., and especially around the general election, folks were like, I just don't know. I haven't been paying attention. I don't know who I need to vote for, what's on the ballot, what's happening. But in Sitka and here in Alaska, we know where to go. We know where to go. That's kcaw.org. You know that Catherine Rose has done an incredible job of ensuring that we have as much information on in one place as possible. And that is an aspect of the public service that can't be understated here in Sitka. News looks vastly different now than it has in many other times, simply because of the choices. The environment has changed
yeah.
very much so. And Raven Radio continues to be committed to the public service. And that's a crucial aspect of our operations.
Margaret Sullivan was the media reporter for the Washington Post. She's gone on to other things now. But she wrote the story about a congressional district in upstate New York, a congressional district that had no local news reporter in the entire congressional district.
Oh.
700,000 people, no local news media. They could get news from Buffalo, but there was no reporter from the Buffalo station in that district. A whole congressional district with all the local House and Senate districts with no coverage.
That's mind-blowing to me.
And here in Sitka, a much smaller town, and I would say a lot fewer resources than a congressional district in upstate New York
has. Of 700,000.
We have 700,000. We have a news staff with reporters. Mm-hmm. You have the choice of listening on the radio, picking it up on the News Hub. You could also get stuff from the Sentinel. But, you know, it's something you can't take for granted. More and more throughout the United States, there are news deserts.
Yes.
And we are a news oasis. Mm-hmm. We're not a desert. But the only reason we are not a news desert is because of local support, because people give a darn.
Yes.
And that's where you come in. Now, we've gotten two calls toward Janet's match. We'll find out if we've matched that soon. If we do match that, we'll break $7,000, but it's up to you. It all starts with you. You know, you use the news to help make a decision on elections, to help this. Who to vote for the assembly? Who to vote for the state legislature? How do I vote on this ballot issue? Because there's local coverage. Or you can make your own decisions by listening live mm-hmm. to the assembly meetings. I can't stress how important that is.
Oh, yes. I mean, you have your own interpretation. Yeah. Not everyone can go, but we've made it as convenient as possible for you to be able to engage in civic government and your civic life as possible. And that, I mean, I've heard many stories of people who, you know, they're just listening, they're making dinner, and then they hear a topic that's so important to them, and then they just rush on down.
Eric Jordan.
Eric Jordan, who was just on the air. Yeah. You know, it's important for us to have those points of entry into civic life. And I think Raven Radio creates an easy access pass. All you need to do is turn on the radio and listen. And really, that is bringing the service right to you.
Yeah, well, it looks like we're getting another one coming in.
Hey.
So Janet called at 9:27, and we've gotten calls at 9:35, 9:44, and 9:50, but there's still some time for you to call.
That's right. It's only 9 minutes left in this show. 747-5877 is the phone number to call. Help us get over $7,000. We're raising $30 this entire day, and we're here supporting an essential public service. That is Raven Radio. I'd like to talk about one last instance.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many examples of how Raven Radio is here for you.
Should we thank these people first?
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah.
Wayne Dye and Linda Janicek.
Hey.
Thank you. All right.
We appreciate you. Thank you for supporting the public service of Raven Radio. You know, you were talking about making decisions
yeah.
and getting information to make decisions. And sometimes it's timely and something that's like a hot button issue. And sometimes it's totally everyday, banal type stuff. And I'd like to bring up this example as the topic of bears, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in our listening community right now interacts and is impacted by bear activity. And everyone, conservationists, hunters, residents, folks everywhere, need to know what is happening at any given time. And one of the best public awareness around this, right, is letting you know what human behaviors intersect with bear behaviors and how we can work together to make sure that this all works, right?
Right.
That we are able to steward the population of people and of bears at any given time. And this report by Rob Woolsey is a perfect illustration.
Steve Bethune is trained in biology. He thought that meant spending a lot of time outdoors with wildlife. There is some of that, but he also spends a lot of time on a computer and on a phone talking to concerned humans.
I deal with some real extreme attitudes about bears here in town. There's kind of a kill them all crowd, and there's the they were here first crowd.
Bethune spoke to an in-person and online audience in Sitka's Harrigan Centennial Hall. Just as he can't kill every bear that enters town, Bethune said he must kill some as they present a legitimate threat to public safety. He doesn't use the term problem bear because he believes bears aren't the problem.
Because they're just bears being bears. It's actually people that are the problem. And these bears are using all the intelligence that they've been created with, all the resources they have to do the best they can with however they can, just to survive.
Bethune said that bears come into contact with humans because we provide them with a limitless supply of high-calorie food. A domestic chicken has about as many calories as a salmon. A greasy pizza box is also rich in calories. Even with 14 bears removed so far this year, He said the calls keep rolling in. The exact number of bears in Sitka remains the million-dollar question because their sense of smell is legendary, 10 times better than a bloodhound's, 2,500 times better than ours, and they are extremely mobile. Today's Sitka bear might have been nowhere near yesterday.
And we know from radio caller data that they're excellent swimmers. Even here in town, we know that bears are using all the little islands. Bears on Middle Island, Kaziana, Apple Island. We've had bears over on Japonski. I'm pretty sure they're not walking across the bridge. So they got to get there somewhere.
This mobility is why relocating bears isn't feasible. Many of the complaints Bethune receives involve his decision to kill a bear rather than trap it, dart it, and move it to a far-off island. Short answer, it doesn't work.
Bears have a tremendous homing instinct. And over and over and over, our radio collar data shows these bears covering tremendous distances, large bodies of water, to get back to where they move from.
Although this has been the worst year for urban bear mortality in Sitka in the last 30 years, Bethune believes an answer has emerged recently that can help enormously: inexpensive electric fence kits. He said the department has purchased several at less than $300 that can be loaned to residents while they work on permanent solutions at their homes. Bethune told the audience a quote from a fellow biologist that what most people know about bears has more to do with the nature of bear stories than with the nature of bears. He added that with bears, we often see what we believe. He said the only effective way to eliminate bears from Sitka was to eliminate the reason they come here.
It's unsecured garbage that's the problem. To move a bear is treating the symptom. It's not treating the root cause.
As for when bears will finally head into their dens for the winter and allow Sitkans to have some peace, not to mention their national park trails, Bethune said there wasn't a precise date. Some sows with cubs might den up in October. For other bears, he said, Thanksgiving is kind of a general standard. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
And you're listening to Southeast Celebrates Newsday with a report by Rob Woolsey about bear activity as it intersects with human behavior. And I bring this piece out because it informed a very rich discussion in our community on Sitka Chatters, specifically as a useful overview and a good piece of information for anyone that is new here in Sitka. And that is a part of the public service that can't be understated, is the fact that we inform decision-making across the board in a way that it charges you with power, and it also helps the community to come to decisions.
You know, and I'm thinking about that because so many times people first come and say, well, why don't you just dart them and move them somewhere else? And that story answers the question. Mm-hmm. And it says, okay, that's one possibility. We've already tried it, and we need to go somewhere else, like pick up your garbage.
Yeah.
But it was interesting. Yeah, when I hear Rob's voice, talking about bears going to den.
You got to, yes.
I think of the time, we used to read the police blotter from the Sentinel, and Rob would make comments on it. And one police blotter story was that someone had taken a frozen teddy bear and thrown it through a plate glass picture window in someone's house. And Woolsey says, that just goes to prove that bears will grow through great pains to den.
Oh, my God.
And you know what?
Beautiful.
We made the match. Thank you, Janet.
Yes.
Thank you, Wayne. Thank you, Linda. Thank you, Anonymous. Thank you, Anonymous.
Right. And thanks, Jan. Thank you so much, all of you, for being a part of this community. We are now at $8,025 into our $30,000 goal for the day. That is a great start. And we don't want to stop it at all. In fact, we've got many hours to go, many great programs still that are queued up for the air, and such good discussion here on Southeast Celebrates Newsday. We're asking for your support in celebration and support of this new service, the public service that Raven Radio provides. Give us a call now, 747-5877. You can hear them in the background.
Yeah.
There are a bunch of people ready to answer all of your questions and calls.
And we've got some great programming coming up for the rest of the day on Southeast Celebrates News. But, you know, before you get into the panel discussions, why not give us a call right now? Then you'll be free, the decks will be cleared, and you can listen to all the great radio programming that's coming up, 747-5877. Or click on kciw.org and become a member, or make an additional pledge or a renewal, or or any whatever. Type of whatever.
Yeah. Like even a verbal high five is great. Yeah. Also, all contributions will go directly to supporting KCAW's news department and news service, the team that brings you live election coverage, regular weather updates, provides direct public service with announcements, events, and opportunities to participate in this public life that we all share. And all donations made will be entered to win a pair of tickets from Alaska Seaplanes. And yes, if you are a sustainer, you are automatically entered. But if you give an extra gift right now, we sure would appreciate you. Give us a call, 747-5877, or click with your support at kcaw.org. We only have like a minute and a half. Rich, any parting thoughts?
Well, I just think it's important that we keep local radio strong. And local radio is the only type of radio that can provide the service that you've come to rely on. In an isolated place like Sitka, in a remote community like Sitka, we need to support each other. The way we support each other is by listening to the radio and talking about our issues on the radio, by responding to important news that we get from the radio, and most importantly, making sure the radio is always there. You can't take it for granted.
Mm-mm.
You can't take it for granted. We live in a special community. We have a special radio station. We have our own special needs, and you're part of that. So come join our community right now. Improve what we're doing on the air. Make it better. Make it stronger. Become a part of the Raven Radio community. Don't take it for granted. It's important. It's
yes.
important to the life of this town.
And now is the time to show your support. KCAW.org is the place to go to click with support. You can call 747-5877. I'm Becky. I've been joined by Rich this morning talking about the public service of Raven Radio.
And we've broken $8,000.
Heck yeah.